The following program is a presentation of the Flypod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
Welcome to Commentary from the Edge. I'm your host, Gilbert Lewis. Today my rant is entitled, Liberal Illusions. And I came by this title for this rant earlier today as I was listening to my radio, to a talk show, in fact. The topic of this talk show was $48 million that the city I live near spent to upgrade, renovate, and otherwise improve a public park that's located within the city limits. And now the folks calling this talk show were complaining that the park was no longer for them. Now, let me try to set the stage for this little brouhaha that's going on in the news. Prior to the renovation, this park, located in a fairly low socioeconomic community, was drug-ridden. Homeless people hung out there. You can buy any type of drug you want. Prostitution was rampant. It was just totally run down. It was a dangerous place to be for kids. And it was basically used by drug addicts, criminals, the homeless, and other fringe elements of society. A couple of years ago, a police officer who was chasing a suspect ran over what he thought was discarded cardboard and ran over a homeless person who subsequently died. So the city decided to clean it up, and they put, you know, quite a bit of money into the project. But now the local citizens and the people that live around the park are complaining that the park is no longer for them. And that's because of increased security. They're going to start having different concerts and just all kinds of activities planned around this newly renovated park. But the people in the neighborhood don't think that that's for them. The words were unspoken, but basically they didn't want to live up to the higher standard required to use the park from now on. The talk show host had this liberal sociology professor from the local university, and their position was, why would the city spend that much money on inanimate objects, on trees and shrubbery and landscaping and concrete whatevers? Why wouldn't they spend that money to elevate the people in the neighborhood? And I thought, do liberals still believe that? Do they truly believe that the government or some social service agency or volunteer group can actually elevate some poor person, uneducated person? Do they truly still believe that? And I guess the answer is yes, because this talk show host was very adamant in his beliefs. And that professor was just a diehard socialist who was stuck in the 60s somewhere. It was amazing. I tried to get in to give a dissenting opinion, but the lines were busy and I never got a chance to talk to those two characters. But nearly every person that I listened to that called in agreed with this person that that money should have been spent to elevate the residents around the park instead of wasting the money on the park itself. And I thought, wow, how much money have we spent trying to elevate people? I mean, it started back in 1964 with the Johnson administration. You remember his famous walk through Appalachia, and he was shocked that people still live like that. And so he launched the Great Society programs, and we spent literally trillions of dollars in those decades since 1964. And guess what, folks? A recent study found that in 1964, roughly 15% of the population lived in poverty. Guess what? Today, or at least this study that I read was from 2010, about 15.1% of the population lives in poverty. The population is larger now, roughly 300 million, so there are actually more people in poverty. The percentage hasn't changed, but since it's a percentage of the entire population and the population is greater, we're talking about more people in spite of the trillions of dollars we spent it hasn't really changed the poverty level. It hasn't elevated the poor. So what are we to do? And how are we to reason with liberals who have this illusion that they can take money from productive people and give it to non-productive people and elevate them? I'm at a loss. And since the Obama administration came into power, spending on the social programs have increased 41%. It's projected that in the year 2012, our government will spend roughly $668 billion on social programs. Now, that's spread across about 126 programs, of which there is much duplication, fraud, waste, and abuse. But nonetheless, that's $668 billion per year. That means every 2 years, our government will spend $1.3 trillion on the poor. Now, in a decade, that's $13.5 trillion every decade. And that's if spending stayed at the current level. That's not even factoring in any kind of increases. Think about that. Every decade, our government is going to take from the productive people, or from retirees like myself, who still pay taxes, they're going to take $13.5 trillion from us and give to people who basically haven't earned it, to elevate them. It hasn't worked since 1964. It's not working now. And in spite of spending trillions of dollars every decade, it's not likely to work in the future. So how do we disabuse these liberals of the illusion that they can take trillions of dollars of our money and elevate people? I don't know what the answer is. But there is one thing I do know. And that is, there is a basic tenet of human nature that if you reward a behavior, you tend to get more of that behavior. So when we as a society lavish funds, housing, food, free medical care on the poor, on the unproductive, we simply make poverty more comfortable. And if you make people more comfortable in their lifestyle, isn't that, in a sense, rewarding that particular lifestyle? And just on a common sense level, if you're a liberal, don't you think that if you reward that behavior, if you make that behavior more comfortable, doesn't common sense tell you that you're going to get more of that behavior? And yet, year after year, budget cycle after budget cycle, the liberals in government, the liberals in society in general still insist that we give them more, that we take more from productive people and give to unproductive people. And in a sense, we guarantee that behavior will perpetuate itself. And guess what? Those people are having babies at a higher rate than people in the middle and upper classes. So the problem can only get worse. And it's not just here in this country. Look at what we do with the foreign aid program. We spend millions, probably billions of dollars every year to send food overseas to feed people who lack proper nutrition. Granted, they need help, but do we really help them? Aren't we, in a sense, rewarding their behavior, rewarding their governments whose policies keep them in poverty and starving? And when we do feed them, or we inoculate them against some diseases, and we, in a sense, keep them strong enough not to fundamentally change their lifestyle or change their environment or change their level of existence, we basically keep them strong enough to procreate. And we ensure that what's happening there, the starvation and all other kinds of privation that they have to go through, will continue into the next generation. It makes no sense. And yet, the liberals still call for us to take our hard-earned money to give it, to send it overseas so people can eat, stay healthy enough to bring forth the next generation who will go through the same cycle. And these same liberals or their children be wringing their hands saying we have to do something. But we never do enough to truly, truly elevate them, because the cost would be ruinous financially. You can't elevate people. People can only elevate themselves, but you can't convince a liberal of that. They hold on to that illusion that if we just spend enough money, that the lower classes will somehow be elevated. The only thing they have accomplished in 50 years after spending trillions of dollars is to grow the number of poor people and increase the burden on the productive. The other day I was reading my newspaper and I saw another example of a liberal illusion. It seems that the administration wants to halt the production of M1 Abrams tanks. That's our main battle tank. And several congressmen, and I'm sure it's the congressmen whose districts those manufacturing plants are located in, they got together and they sponsored a bill that would prevent the administration from shutting down the production of tanks. I thought, well, why would they? Why would you want to cut the production of military hardware? Doesn't that create jobs? I thought that the administration was all about jobs. But it seems that liberals have a blind spot when it comes to the military. But as far as I'm concerned, I am for any military spending that we can get to Congress. But I am not for wasteful military spending like we saw back during the Reagan administration. We were paying $200 or $300 for a hammer or a toilet seat or something ridiculous like that. But as far as military spending, let's look at the facts. Those tanks are produced in America. Those companies hire American workers. They pay taxes. The military equipment they produce goes to our military. The military has to have soldiers, Marines, seamen, and Air Force personnel to operate those machines. So as I see military spending as a win-win situation. It produces jobs. It makes for a strong military, a U.S. military. And those workers pay taxes. So why would a liberal administration be against spending a spending program that produces jobs? And I guess it comes down to the general liberal illusion that being powerful, being a superpower, somehow makes the world unstable or unsafe. And I guess that's illustrated also in this liberal president's position on nuclear weapons. He has actually come out and advocated a nuclear-free world, as if that's ever going to happen. But he has this illusion, I think, that if we, the United States, leads the way and eliminate our nuclear arsenal, that the rest of the world will follow. And that is an illusion, a liberal illusion, because it is never going to happen. And I just have a concern about a president who will get up in front of the nation and the world and proclaim that his goal is to eliminate nuclear weapons. Number one, we know that's never going to happen. So you have to question whether or not he's dealing with reality and with a full deck. Every nuclear power that I'm aware of, except the United States under this liberal presidency, are increasing or improving their nuclear arsenals. So why in the world would a president, I'm asking myself that question. I already know the answer to it. That's his policy because he's a liberal and he has the illusion that you find peace through weakness. I guess he believes the people we compete against in the world will see that we're making ourselves weaker and I guess follow suit. When you look at history, and history tells us that whenever there is an imbalance of power, the more powerful person or nation or alliance will always take advantage of the weaker, either militarily or economically. It's been that way throughout human history. How can we deny that? We are an adversarial species. That's the way human beings behave. And yet, liberals still suffer under the illusion that if we make ourselves weaker, that we will promote peace and harmony in the world. I don't know how they hold on to that illusion, but somehow they do. And we have a president that's of that ilk, and it's kind of scary. Even though he has no problem with dispatching drones to blow terrorists away, so go figure. That leaves me scratching my head. When it comes to that, he sees the advantage of being powerful, of having those drones, the technology, and sitting up on high and calling down the wrath of God on a group of terrorists. But on the other hand, when it comes to nuclear weapons, he wants to rid ourselves of that, as if that will somehow make us safer. I don't get it. Have you ever gotten into a conversation with a liberal about energy policy in this country? It's like talking to Chicken Little. The first thing out of their mouths is global warming. Now, I don't disagree that there is global warming. After all, the planet has been warming since the last ice age. And geophysicists will tell you that in many eras or eons during the history of this planet, the environment was much, much hotter than it is now. And that tells me that in the cycles of this planet, there will be heating or warming, and there will be cooling. There will be ice ages, and there will be times when the planet is much hotter than we've ever experienced. And that has a lot to do with the cycles of the sun. So I'm not so sure that the activities of man is responsible for global warming. Does it contribute to it? Probably. As an engineer, I know that you cannot pump the amount of carbon back into the atmosphere, which is essentially a closed system, without it having some kind of effect. We take fossil fuels and we burn them and we emit carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases into the atmosphere. So, yeah, we probably affect the environment to some extent. But is that the principal cause of global warming? I don't think so. And also, you get to the main point that most liberals espouse, and that is we're going to run out of fossil fuels. If you talk to a real rabid liberal, they say it's going to be in about 30 or 40, 50 years. When most of the experts predict that we will run out of easily accessible fossil fuels in about 100 years. Now, that's not to say that every drop of oil, every lump of coal, or every tank of petroleum gas will be gone. No, that just means that the easily attainable fossil fuels will be gone. But there is fracking, tar sand, oil from shale formations, and there are other technologies on the horizon which will enable us to extract even more fossil fuels from the earth. And will we at one point in time have to find other sources of energy? Absolutely. Now, I won't have to worry about it. I won't be around next 100 years, and I don't think my son will either, but maybe my grandkids will have to deal with this. But now is not the time to panic. People under their liberal illusion feel we have to do something drastic right now, such as carpet the country with windmills and solar panels. But I think people that advocate that have absolutely no idea of the scope or the amount of energy that we glean from fossil fuels. They just have no idea. And they also have no concept of what it would take in windmill forms and solar panel forms to replace what we get from fossil fuels. Now, they started with these so-called green cars. And I laugh every time I hear or read about some celebrity or some committed savior of the planet bragging about their green car, their Prius or some other hybrid or electric car. They say their little spiel about saving the planet. And then they drive home and then they plug their Prius or Volt or whatever model they're driving into their electrical system at home. And the electric company has to respond to that demand, a greater demand for electricity. And guess what? That utility company, for the most part, has to burn more fossil fuels in order for these environmentalists to charge the batteries to run their quote-unquote green machines, their green automobiles. And it's ludicrous. And I have to laugh. I'm polite about it. I just don't laugh in their faces. Most of the time I laugh to myself. But if it's a liberal that I know well enough, I'll come out and tell them just how delusional they really are. Because for the most part, an electric car or a hybrid is a coal burner. The electric company burns coal or some other fossil fuel to produce the electricity that these people use to charge their batteries to drive their cars. And they tool down the road feeling all superior. And they got this, they think they got this little tiny carbon footprint because they drive a hybrid. But they're no better off than you or I driving our gas guzzlers because they're basically driving a coal burner. They've stepped back. They've used technology to step back in the, on the energy timeline because they might as well have a small furnace in there and they can throw coal, run it that way. I mean, I guess it's cleaner the way they do it. They let their electric company burn the coal. But it's a liberal illusion. They think because they drive an electric car that they're saviors of the planet and they have this superior attitude towards us who still burn gasoline. But it's an illusion. It's a liberal illusion. But the part that really burns me up is that this administration gives them a $15,000 credit from our tax dollars to purchase those coal burners. This administration also gives tens of millions of dollars to companies like Solyndra, who after 20 or 30 years of developing renewable sources of energy, haven't managed to produce more than 2% of the energy we use in this country. Now, at this point in time, some of you might be wondering, well, why is he rehashing all of this, these old debates about liberalism and conservatism and spending programs? It's because we're approaching a national election and we are going to be deciding on a president to lead this country for the next 4 years. Now, I have very little regard for Mitt Romney, the presumptive Republican candidate. I feel he's a cold-hearted businessman who will, with the help of the Supreme Court and the corrupt politicians in Congress, push this nation towards a corporate state. And he'll be more of a tyrant than Mayor Bloomberg in New York if he's elected president. I am even less enthusiastic about the current president, who I believe is suffering under multiple liberal illusions. And I think that it will be disastrous for this country, given the ability he seems to have to foist his liberal agenda on this country. So I'm between a rock and a hard place when it comes to the upcoming national election. There is one thing I'm relatively sure of, though. If we look at what's happening in Europe, where we've seen spending on social programs run amok and just about bankrupt their economies, we simply cannot afford 4 more years of a president who seems to be in the grip of so many liberal illusions. Until next time, I'm your host, Albert Lewis, from the Edge.